The conversation turns to cars, and Chiro is out of town today, so he's lent us one of his colleagues from cars.co.za to help us tackle your motoring questions. Ernest Page is not only a motoring journalist, he's also an acclaimed stunt driver, has a successful YouTube channel called Performance with Page, and if you're a regular at Killarney International Raceway, you're probably going to recognize his voice because he is the official commentator at all of the drag racing events there. Ernest, it's really great to have you with us today. Thank you so much for stepping into Chiro's shoes for the day.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Papa. Chiro shoes are big shoes to fill, but I've been studying up and I've been chatting to you as well, so, and I'm very glad to be on 567. It's my second time. I've been counting, so thanks so much for having me on.
It's our great pleasure, Ernest. Really looking forward to the conversation, and I just will add that it's a good day to phone in if you've got questions about performance cars and that sort of side of the motoring industry, because this man is really an expert there. Before we get to any listener questions, Ernest, let's start with a car review. You were fortunate enough to get behind what I'm told is the most powerful and most expensive Bucky on the market at the moment. It's the new Amarok V6.
Indeed. I mean, that's a bold statement for someone to make in a market where, you know, it's all about bragging rights when it comes to Bucky. The biggest, the most powerful, the most competent, etc. So VW, with their swan song to the Amarok, they've got a new one coming out next year. They decided to make the most powerful, most expensive Bucky in South Africa. So if you get this one, you've now got the bragging rights of saying you've got 190 kilowatts, which is almost 40-50 more than the equivalent Toyotas, 580 newton meters of torque, and your Bucky costs just under a cool R1 million.
Ooh, that's a big price tag for a Bucky. Is it worth it? Ernest, what do you get for it? How did it drive?
Well, that's the thing about the Amarok. The Amarok's party trick is that it's not as good as, let's say, the Ford or the Toyota off-road. It's 80 to 90% of the Ford or the Toyota's abilities. But where the Amarok wins in a big way is on-road. And on-road ability, the Amarok drives like a car, thanks to that the very slick DSG gearbox. You know, the engine's very powerful. I did a trip out to Gansbaai, and the overtaking ability of the car is just amazing. And I called it a car now because it really does feel and drive like a car. And for sightseeing, the visibility out of the car, because of the giant windows, is really good. It's got a nice airy cabin. So where this car wins, it's really, really good. And that's on-road ability and the fact that it feels and drives like any other VW product. And we know their products are good.
Yeah. So who do you think is the target market for this vehicle, Ernest? Big windows, great overtaking ability, good on the road. I think of people who like their road trips and their game viewing sort of scenario. But who do you think they're targeting?
Well, the reality of the situation is that most people don't use their Buckys off-road. So this would more than likely be the executive that does lots of miles, either between the farms, for example, or between businesses. And he wants something that's versatile for the kitesurfing weekend, but also can throw the family in and do family sort of things, and at the same time cover many, many miles on the road. You know, we're going to talk about, later on, we're talking about the numbers with regard to sales in South Africa. And this is one of those vehicles that could be a company write-off. It could be a company purchase. So why not get the best version for your company purchase? And I think that's what might happen. That might be the market for the Amarok. R1 million is a lot of money for a Bucky. But then again, you know, there's so many other R1 million Buckys or R900,000 Buckys on the road at the moment. People are buying these cars. There is certainly a market for it. And I think there'll be a market for this Amarok as well.
Okay, now speaking of people buying cars, Ernest, once a long, long time ago in a job I really hated, it was my job to capture the monthly NAMSA sales figures and type them into the Excel spreadsheet. So I always shudder a little bit when I hear that there is a new batch of numbers out. It's actually quite good news, though.
I'm not getting anything past you today, then, I would imagine. You know exactly what's going on with that. And what an interesting topic. I mean, this is a good news story on many levels because the numbers are up. The sales are up this month, up to 44,000 for March 2021. And that's up from 2020, which is on 33,000. So, you know, it really is a good news story because I think the big implications of this is that our industry is starting to sort of galvanize again. Our industry is starting to fire up again. And this is one of those indicators, certainly in the car market, that things are on the up again and the nuts and bolts are starting to turn.
44,000 new vehicles sold during the month of March 2021. And as you say, that's more than 30% higher than the same time last year. Of course, same time last year, Ernest, was not normal trading conditions as well. It was the start of lockdown and everybody was looking nervously around wondering what was coming. So I think not surprising that it's improved, but maybe the level of improvement is bigger than would have been expected. I mean, what sort of vehicles are selling in the highest numbers? Is it across the board, or are there any particular categories that stand out?
Well, particular categories certainly is the rental space. The rental space and sort of the companies buying in Buckies and things like that. So you're going to get a lot of Toyota Hilux Buckies sold. You're going to get a lot of VW Polos sold. And, you know, the comparison, I think it's fair to make a comparison to last year, because obviously it was last year. But at the same time, like you say, those are extenuating circumstances. Compared to March 2019, mm-hmm. we're still a little bit down. We're about 3,000 down on the 47,000 of March 2019. And before that, there's always been a very slight decline. So we're kind of on par now at the moment. But based on that question of what cars are being sold, I think there's a bit of a spurt happening at the moment, because the rental market, the corporate market, everybody's getting ready for the borders to open again. For the next summer, the rental companies are stocking up, the dealers are stocking up. So, you know, I think this could be the ebb and flow of things getting back to normal. Certainly, I think over the next couple of months, it will be telling, but this is a step in the right direction, because people can go back to work now and our exports can start firing up again as well.
Okay, thank you so much for those reflections on the latest vehicle sales figures for the month of March. So 44,000 new cars sold in South Africa during that month. I wonder if you're surprised to hear that figure at all. Somebody sending a follow-up question on your review of the Amarok. Ernest, a WhatsApp from Anonymous asking how it compares to the Mercedes Bucky and the Toyota Land Cruiser in your view.
Yeah, look, the Mercedes Bucky, unfortunately, not being made anymore at the moment. And yeah, it was, the Mercedes used to have the title of the most powerful Bucky in the country. It also had the title of the most expensive Bucky in the country. And at the moment, it's the Amarok that's taken over that mantle. As far as the Land Cruiser goes, I think it's a different type of vehicle. And, you know, these, all three of those vehicles that you mentioned, they don't really compete in the same space. If you ask me, the persona that's going to get either one of those vehicles is going to be a different person. So I don't think they compare favorably in that sense. But, you know, a Toyota person's probably going to buy a Toyota, and a VW person's probably going to buy a VW.
Okay, thanks for that. With that, we open the lines. If you've got a motoring question for Ernest, please give us a call on 021-446-0567. Do what that last person's done. Send a WhatsApp to 072-567-1567. Or you can do what Bridget did earlier this week and send an email to pippah@capetalk.co.za. And Bridget raises a very interesting question about what to do with a car that is not looking its best. So her husband has a 2009 Audi A4 for Cabriolet, which has done around 145,000 kilometers. And he's now retired, so she says he does very low mileage nowadays. The car has had all of its services. It's in very good mechanical condition, but it's not looking its best. The bodywork has quite a few dings and scratches. Makes it look a wee bit scruffy is the description she uses. Mm. Ernest, her question is a very interesting one. Is it worth investing money in a total wrap or respray of that vehicle, knowing that that can cost something like up to 80,000 rand, or is it just not worth it given the likely value of that car if it is put onto the market? So she's sort of toying up, you know, the fact that it is low mileage, it's been with one owner for the last 110,000 kilometers, versus is it worth spending money on making it look better? What do you think?
Well, Papa, that's in the current state of affairs, this is a very pertinent question. I think people are going to be asking this question more often over the next couple of months. Should I upgrade? Should I hold? Should I fix? You know, because the money, there's not as much money in the system, and the confidence in the market is low at the moment. So the smart thing to do would be to, in fact, hold. So that Audi over there that she's got, she's probably going to get an absolute maximum of between 90 and 100,000 for that car. And the fact that it's a convertibles are very difficult to sell. So just to sell that car is going to be difficult, and eventually she might need to compromise on the price. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at, let's say she wants to upgrade, or her husband wants to upgrade to the later 2015 to 2017 model, another used version, you're going to look at four times the price. You're going to look at 350, 400,000, 480 in some cases for an equivalent Audi convertible. So the, based on the numbers, and you know, the price that you mentioned for the Spey at 80,000, that seems a bit excessive. I've done a little bit of research. Yep. You could probably get that for about half that price. I would say about 40,000 thereabouts at a very reputable place. But at the same time, you could get a wrap at a very reputable place for 25,000. So now we're down to those two questions. I'm going to keep the car because it's going to cost four times more to get another one. It's going to be difficult to sell this car. Should I stray or should I wrap? Now, she mentioned that and I'm quoting here, Brigitte, that the car has quite a few dings and scratches.
Correct.
And that's a problem if you're going to be wrapping the car, because those things, the wrap is designed to go with the contours of the car. So if the contours of the car are dings and scratches, then that's what you're going to see on the other side of the wrap. So the respray is more than likely the best option. But I think, you know, with these things, we don't have to rush into these things. She could take the car for a very nice detail. You know, the guys do these polishes, they do wax polishes, et cetera, et cetera. And it really, I took a car for a wash this weekend, an old Prius for a wash this weekend, and it looked like a new car afterwards, just with a little bit of TLC. Mm-hmm. So maybe that might be an option first before the big spend, but it does sound like the most viable option if she doesn't want to spend 400,000 on an equivalent later model is to get the car respayed.
Ernest, for the sake of those like me who were totally unaware of the concept of wrapping a car before today, won't you just explain what that means? I think everybody knows what a respray is, but what is a wrap?
So, yeah, I assume that I was talking to some of my listeners on Performance of Paid, where we talk about these things all the time. So the wrap is essentially it's a plastic cover that goes across around the entire car. And you get various different types. You get those that you can pour and spray, and those that you stretch across the body. So it's basically, once it hardens, if it's the ones that do harden, then it's effectively a plastic sheet around your car. And that's what a wrap is. It's kind of like lunch wrap.
Okay. Lunch wrap for cars. Thank you very much. We're in conversation with Ernest Page, motoring journalist. He has a successful YouTube channel called Performance with Page, and you may recognize the voice from his commentary at Killarney International Raceway if you visit there often. He is standing in for Chiro on the car feature today. We're going to take a short break, and when we're back with Ernest after this, we're taking your calls on 021-446-0567.
Cape Talk. Call Pippa now on 021-446-0567.
That is the number to use if you would like to direct a motoring question our way. Once again, our guest standing in for Chiro today is his colleague Ernest Page, who is a motoring journalist who also contributes to cars.co.za, but has his own YouTube channel as well called Performance with Page. Ernest, let's go back to our WhatsApp line. A question from Anonymous, who has bought a 2015 Ford Transit Connect panel van and says the parts are still available at dealers only, and I really can't afford the dealership prices. Any advice?
Oh, that's always a tough one. I've personally been in that situation where I've had a car where, you know, those dreaded words where they say agents only. And I mean, this vehicle has been around for quite a while, but the problem with car like the Ford Transit van is that not that many units are sold, so the aftermarket parts availability won't be as high simply because the demand isn't as high. You know, the best thing to do then would be probably to import parts yourself. That would really be the only other option. But this is exactly why, you know, it's important when shopping for a car to buy, especially when it comes to a workhorse type of car, to buy the one that everybody else is buying, so that the, you know, the troubleshooting has happened already. And, you know, the parts are always going to be available. So this is a very tough spot. If the agents can't help you, then importing it yourself would be the only other option if you can't find it on the aftermarket section of the mall.
Okay, thanks for that advice. Next question is from another anonymous on the WhatsApp line. Do we have Ford Broncos in South Africa yet? And if so, where can I find one? Those are the very big, rugged-looking SUV models, aren't they, Ernest?
Now, Ford Broncos, unfortunately, are not available in South Africa. And what a good-looking car it is. It always has been an interesting car over the years. In 2021, one is no different. Unfortunately, that's not available in South Africa at the moment. No talks of it coming. The biggest Ford that you can get at the moment is the Ford Raptor. So if you're a big Ford fan, you know, you're going to have to go for the Raptor. But as far as I know, no talks about the Ford Bronco coming to South Africa at the moment.
Okay, sorry to be the bearer of bad news, Anonymous, but thanks for the question. We go to the lines. James has given us a ring from Simonstown. Good afternoon, James.
Good afternoon. I'd like your thoughts on catalytic converters. So many people I know have taken theirs out and put in a false chip in the computer to fool it. It's given me a hell of a problem, my converters. What is the state of the art in catalytic converters now?
James, we're still in the same position at the moment where there's no legislation to say that you have to replace your catalytic converter. If you lived in the UK or you lived in the States, we were the ones that brought this law into play many years ago, you'd have to have a catalytic converter replaced once it's reached the end of its life cycle. So Africa, being a developing nation, you know, we're on the tip of the rest of the world, our rules are slightly different here. So we don't have as strict emission laws. So it is legal to then take your catalytic converter and get it replaced with what they call a fooler. You know, it's probably not the right thing to do, but it's so expensive to replace a catalytic converter. It kind of forces a lot of people into a situation where they've got to choose, am I going to pay 3, 4, 5 times as much to get the fooler for the sake of the environment? It's a similar conundrum that people are facing when they want to buy electric cars, you know. Do I go that way? But it's so prohibitively expensive. And the same thing applies to catalytic converter replacement. That's why a lot of people just get the foolers.
Could I just ask one more question? If you bump start a car with a catalytic converter in quite often, does that stuff up the converter as well?
It depends. James, what year model car is yours? How old is the car?
Well, not particularly referring to mine. I've got a Subaru Forester, I've heard that it's not recommended that you bump start cars with catalytic converters too often.
Yeah, I would imagine. Well, the thing is, you know, there's certain things that are going to cause damage and certain things that aren't. And for me, I always find, like, I'm going to start my car when I'm going to start my car, you know, and the car should last the appropriate amount of time. If you're going to be starting your car often, that's obviously a bad idea. But I think the catalytic converter, it collects dirt. So the less dirt that you make it collect, especially at the times when it starts and the engine's running what they call rich with lots of fuel going through it, then, yeah, then maybe that might not be the best thing to do.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for your call, James, in Simonstown. We have time to take a few more calls on 0214460567. In the meantime, we'll continue with voice notes and WhatsApps and SMSs to keep us going. SUVs, so popular in South Africa, as it's, I think, never a week without a question about buying one. Ernest, and today, Anonymous is wanting to know recommendations for a good SUV they can pick up for under 300,000 rand. Don't mind going second hand, and I would imagine that that price point they may well have to. What would your recommendation be?
Well, there are plenty SUVs under the 300,000.
There are, okay.
Because nowadays, you know, you've got situations where the entire market is shifting towards SUVs. And this ties into our conversation early on, where you can, the second-hand market is about to explode. You know, so the Cars Awards that I was part of this year, they had a category for SUVs under a certain price. And I think if you're going to go new, you're probably going to look at around the 400,000 rand mark for something like the Toyota CHR, etc. But if you're going secondhand, then there are very many options. Toyota being one of them, that was our Cars Awards winner, the CHR. Then, of course, you've got the Suzuki offerings as well, which are very, very good. And I think a lot of people overlook the Suzuki offerings because, you know, it's Suzuki and it might not have the pedigree of some of the other brands. But the Suzuki Vitara, for example, is a fantastic buy. And that's new from 310,000 rand.
Okay.
So, and certainly one of my favorites. And is when it comes to buying SUVs, I think there's one for everyone in that price range. The average price that people are financing now is about 350,000. So that space, that 300,000 rand space that you're talking about is very, very busy. So what that means is that you can go and say, you know what, this is my budget. Just in the Suzuki range alone, you've got three options within that budget. And then you can look at the Toyota, as I said, Nissan's got a couple of the Qashqai in there as well. So the main thing I think that I always recommend to people, especially that category, because it's so rich with options, is to go drive them all. Pick five, shortlist it to three, and go drive those three, because you'll find one that speaks to you. My personal favorite being the Renault Duster, but that might be a bit rugged for some, you know, and then a bit more money, you could get a VW, the VW's new crossover. So there are many, very many options specifically in that gap. That's the most competitive gap in South Africa at the moment, and a great place to be shopping if you are shopping.
Thanks very much for that comprehensive feedback, and good luck with the purchase to whoever sent that message through. Okay, let's see. What do you think of the Isuzu SUV? Is a WhatsApp. I don't know if it's from the same person or if that's just a follow-on. You didn't mention the Isuzu in that mix, I think.
The Isuzu, well, the Bucky that we were talking about early on was the Amarok. That was a Bucky. The Isuzu SUV, or the MUX, is a much, much bigger SUV and also one of the Cars Awards finalists this year, and one that surprised a lot of people. I think, you know, with Isuzu having that tumultuous relationship with GM over the last couple of months, you know, you're not quite sure what you're going to get from them. So they basically rebadged one of GM's cars and now given us the MUX, which has exceeded expectations. And Isuzu is that brand that kind of exceeds expectations, a very basic sort of setup. This one goes for the MUX 3-liter goes for about 700,000. So you're also saving a little bit of money over the equivalent Toyota and Ford Ranger, or Ford Everest at least. But you are going to get a car that inside it's not going to feel as modern as its competitors. It's going to look a little bit dated, but with that dated look, you get the ruggedness that, and this could all be perceived, you know what I mean? But you do get that perceived ruggedness that I can spill my yogurt on the top of the dash and I'll just be able to wipe it off. So you get that with the Isuzu, and I think that's why Isuzu sells so well in South Africa, because they have to be rugged in South African conditions.
Okay, thanks for that. The Bucky questions keep on flowing in. The next one is about the GWM P series. Somebody's saying, yeah, I saw it for the first time recently and thought it looked very impressive. What's your take on that vehicle, or that series, rather?
The GWM P series is one of those Buckys that it's come out of nowhere. And Cars.co.za once again did a video on this, and it's one of those buckies that people are noticing after years of GWM being here. It's one of those buckies that's now slowly starting to get the recognition that it deserves. They've got awesome ZF gearboxes, they've got 8-speed automatic transmissions, they've got good four-wheel drive options now, and that body, the chassis on here, if it looks familiar, it's because it's based on another competitor model, and it uses underpinnings that we've seen before. So it's both actually built on an older Bucky model, and it's the underpinnings on there are very, very good and reliable. So it's a good Bucky. I don't have that much experience, to be honest with you guys, but Chiro, my colleague, he did do a review on this exact Bucky, so you can check it out on Cars.co.za for that info.
Okay, thanks very much for the tip. I think we can squeeze in one more WhatsApp asking about the Mahindra KUV, your opinion of that vehicle.
Mahindra is one of those brands that everything that they do lately is better than the last thing that they did. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that the KUV has been getting a little bit of flack, but I kind of like it. The KUV 100 is the cheeky little compact SUV. They've got a whole bunch of other little cars in their range as well. But one thing I have noticed about Mahindra is that with these companies, just like the Chinese companies from before, just like the Korean companies and now the Indian company, they actually try harder. So for your money, you get much more for your money. So it's that kind of car where you're always going to get a lot more options than you would get with a Toyota or Mazda or some equivalent established brand. So I definitely say go test drive these cars. Don't look past the name. And my cousin now is on his second Mahindra, and he absolutely loves these cars.
Okay, thank you very much for the tip. We've been in conversation with Ernest Page, whose YouTube channel you can follow, Performance with Page. You can also check out more of his work on cars.co.za. And if you're a drag racing fan, head yourself down to Killarney International Raceway and you'll often hear his voice doing the commentating. Ernest, just in closing, as a matter of interest, is drag racing and happening at the moment? I would imagine, like all other sports and enterprises, it was affected by lockdown. Is the sport building back up again?
Yeah, sport is slowly coming back. Our motorsport is slowly coming back. We've got events now, but unfortunately, no spectators allowed as yet, and I don't think that's going to happen until we go back to, you know, the new normal at level zero because of the legislation and how that affects those kind of sporting events. So Kilani is running at the moment, but unfortunately, no spectators for now.
Okay, last question for you then is, please share with our listeners one reason to go and visit Performance with Paige right now. For someone who's never been on your YouTube channel before, if we were to send them there today, what would they find?
Well, my biggest platform is my Facebook platform. And, you know, I like to have fun with cars. I like to engage people and have fun with cars. And that's kind of what my platform is about, me enjoying cars, talking about cars, and engaging with the audience. So if you are there and you do happen to pop a comment, I always reply and engage directly. So it's a fun place. If you like cars, especially if you like performance cars, come check it out.
Ernest, we've heard that sense of fun shine through in your answers today. Thank you so much for being with us to step into Chiro's shoes. You've done an absolutely admirable job, and we've really enjoyed having you on the show.
Thanks, Pippa. Great to be here.
Hope we'll chat again soon. Ernest Page, today's contributor on Car Talk, and of course you can find more of his work on his own platforms, Performance with Page, and on cars.co.za. Chiro should be back with us again next week.